Thereafter, esatto.
Nevrita.
Nevrita.
Sì. Certainly. Apurka. Listen diligently. Sriya. Women. Arabica. Boys. Mahasane. Exalted seat. Sahi. Upavivesha. Sat down. Pujita. Being respected. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, who is also known as Vishnu Rata, one who was always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief guest, Shukadeva Goswami. At that time, all the ignorant women and boys ceased following Srila Shukadeva. Receiving respect from all, Shukadeva Goswami took his exalted seat. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. On Shukadeva Goswami's arrival at the meeting, everyone except Srila Vyasadeva Narada and a few others stood up, and Maharaj Parikshit, who was glad to receive a great devotee of the Lord, bowed down before him with all the limbs of his body. Shukadeva Goswami also exchanged the greetings and reception by embrace, shaking of hands, nodding, and bowing down, especially before his father and Narada Muni. Thus he was offered the presidential seat at the meeting. When he was so received by the king and sages, the street boys and less intelligent women who followed him were struck with wonder and fear. So they retired from their frivolous activities, and everything was full of gravity and calm. So Vishnuranto Chitaya Agataya, tis wise of Karyan Shira Sajamaya, to tell the Vrita Kapodasi Orvita, Mahasane Sopa Vivesha Pujita. Maharaj Parikshit is also known as Vishnu Rata, one who is always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief guest, Shukadeva Goswami. At that time, all the ignorant women and boys ceased following Shukadeva. Receiving respect from all, Shukadeva Goswami took his exalted seat. The Mahamishna Krishna Krishna Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Near the Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Srinivasa Gaura Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhajkapjurubhyasyakripasindurubhyayapacha Patitanabhavadevyo Vaishnavadevyo Namo Namah. So here Maharaj Parikshit is referred to as Vishnu Rata, one who is always protected by Vishnu, and is particularly referring to when he was within the womb of his mother, Uttara, and the Brahmastra women came to kill him, having been released by Ashwatthama, who was one of the very last of the Kuru army, the opposing army in the Battle of Kurukshetra, to be left alive. Ashwatthama thought that even though we've lost, and we've lost everything, we've lost the kingdom, and we are religious, at the mercy of the victors, the Pandavas, but still, if I can still do some further mischief and create more distress amongst the Pandava side, it will be pleasing to my superiors, particularly Duryodhana and Dushasana, people like that. So therefore, even though there's really practically nothing to be gained in real substantial terms, but let me kill, first of all, the sleeping sons of the Pandavas, five young boys. So he did that during the night. And then finally, let me kill the forthcoming, still to be born, grandson of the Pandavas, at least at this point, who was my Maharishi. Of course, he didn't really take into consideration that they could have had more sons, they could have been more grandsons, and so doing like this might not have had any real effect on history, but still, he felt like that, and he released the Brahmastra to kill Maharishi within the womb of Uttara, the mother of Maharishi, and this was just his final gesture of anger and enviousness. And, well, this is typical of material consciousness, particularly as material consciousness becomes deeper and deeper and more degraded and more fallen and more contaminated by passion and particularly by ignorance. So, as material consciousness degrades like this, then the tendencies of those people who are in that type of consciousness, they become worse and worse. Sri Sri Radha Radha Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sri Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. And the people become more willing, and not just willing, but even enthusiastic to do worse things in the Kshatriya days of Vedic times, what we refer to as Vedic times. The Kshatriyas, as in this case, in at least the case we're referring to, the Kshatriyas, the warriors, they would fight to and kill and just do whatever. They would fight in very honorable ways, though. They would do their best to kill the enemy. But if the enemy, for example, lost his weapon and now it's just defenseless, they would let him go. Or even let him take up another weapon, or even give him another weapon. And as soon as the sun set, even if they were just about to cut off the head of the enemy, just about, but then, oops, the sun set, they would stop. And in the evening, the two sides would meet together, socialize, and like this, just as friends. And this is very high level of material. material consciousness. Yeah, it's material consciousness. It's not really spiritual consciousness, but it's a very high level of material consciousness. But then as the people go down and down into deeper, into passion, particularly into ignorance, then these types of qualities are lost. And then innocent citizens who are not in the armed forces, who are not actually on the battlefield waging the war, but just the people, as not even the children, defenseless people, they become the targets of the warriors, and in any sort of way. And as things go down and down and down, then when they capture, well, the means they use in general on the battlefield become lower and lower, and when they capture a member of the opposing side, what they may do to him or her, or even children, becomes worse and worse. You know, we don't want to talk about it, but they find some people become experts in torturing people. Expert. So that the person is just suffering unimaginably, but still doesn't die. This is expert nowadays in such circles. So Ashwatthama, he was influenced by, at least to some degree, such a more degraded type of consciousness. So even though there was nothing to gain, what to speak of his side, not being able to somehow or other secure victory any longer, there was no one left on this side. So even if they had secured, you know, somehow at the last moment, unexpectedly defeated the Pandavas, they had no one who could then rule and take charge again. They were all gone. So there was no point, nothing to gain. And if it's a matter, as we're told, that he was thinking that he might please Duryodhana, Dushasana, people like that, by killing the descendants of the Pandavas. But Duryodhana was already dead. And you can't really please him any longer. He's off to destinations unknown, and he's not going to know that Ashwatthama killed them. And they're just children, and even child within the womb. But like this, we can see demoniac mentality, very materialistic mentality, coming in. But Krishna, Vishnu, described in the first canto, Lord Vishnu came and intercepted that weapon. Intercepted the weapon. And in this way, Parikshit was protected. And even if he was killed by the weapon, still, within the womb, Vishnu gave him another body, identical. Yeah. So this is materialistic mentality. As people become more materialistic, then gradually what they're willing to do, what they feel they can do, what they feel they should do, particularly in difficult situations, they become more prone to taking lower class, worse types of decisions, less pious and more aggressive. For example, we also see in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the story of Akasura. Akasura, he was the brother of Putana, one of the brothers. The other brother was Bakasura. Quite a family. So Putana was already dead. She was the first one, first demon to be killed by Lord Krishna. Akasura was killed somewhat later, little later. But Akasura, when he was preparing and planning and getting ready to attack Krishna and try to kill Krishna, he said that, yes, I want to kill this Krishna and use his blood to perform last rites for my sister Putana, who was so fond of sucking blood. What can we say? Hare Krishna. So, welcome to the material world. Welcome to the material world. And, yes, it's really shocking, and becoming more shocking. It's Kali Yuga, and it's only just begun. Yes, it is not developed much, not so much. So anyway, that Maharaj Pariksit is addressed here, referred to here as Vishnu-mata. He who was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These different names, different people are addressed with different names in Vedic society, in terms of different circumstances. For example, Lord Chaitanya was born, he appeared under a neem tree, so he was named Limai. But at the same time, his grandfather, his maternal grandfather, Nilabha Chakravarti, understood that this is a very great transcendental personality. This is actually the Supreme Lord. So he said, another name for him must be Vishvamba. So it was there, that other name, although he was addressed more often as Nimai. But sometimes the term Vishvamba was used, it depended on the circumstances. And we see in Bhagavad Gita how Lord Krishna is addressed with different names at different times in terms of the particular circumstances which are there right at that moment when he's speaking. For example, when Arjuna wants to just give up fighting and just sit down and relax and just, in other words, his own enjoyment is the main thing, and he's not really so interested in doing what Krishna wants, at that stage at least. So he addresses Krishna as Govinda. O Govinda, I shall not fight. And what does Govinda mean? It means he who satisfies the senses. O Krishna, satisfy my senses, let me relax. And then just around that time, he addresses Krishna as Janardan, which among other things means killer of everyone. Ultimately, that is the case. All living entities are killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly or indirectly. So Arjuna addresses Krishna with that name in the sense that You want everyone killed? You want me to kill everyone because you want everyone killed? Listen, you're Jonathan. You kill everyone. And let me sit down and relax, Govinda. So, that's interesting. So here, Maharaj Parikshit is addressed as Vishnurata in the sense that he has a special position even amongst all these very special people who are assembled there, even Naradamuni, Vyasadeva, all such special people. But Maharaj Parikshit, he's Vishnurata. The Lord personally, himself, with his own hands, protected the life of Maharaj Parikshit. And that's some special thing in regard to Maharaj Parikshit. It didn't really happen. Not in the same way even with Narada Muni, even with Srila Vyasadeva. Not exactly like that. So, but Maharaj Parikshit, he was Vishnurata. Lord Vishnu personally saved his life, even in just a hopeless situation. So anyway, the thing is here that Shukadeva Goswami has appeared on the scene, and when he's appeared, he was surrounded by these street boys, in Chatsworth we used to have the corner boys. No response from any of that. They're like social rejects, and they just hang around on the corners at night and do useless things. Anyway, these street boys, just these urchins, these dirty little boys, they should be in school. They should be getting trained to do something useful. But no, they're hanging out in the street and maybe stealing some things sometimes. Maybe sometimes abusing someone, maybe sometimes sniffing glue and whatever. All that sort of just useless and worse than useless activity. And some sort of like street women, just low class women of no character, who have nothing better to do than when some extraordinary person appears on the scene, they have nothing better to do but follow him and mock him and give some time to sort of berating him and denigrating him. They've got nothing better to do. Otherwise they just hang out and they're just useless people. And it's interesting, we have a lot of experience. I imagine you all had the experience that we're out there on Harinam Sankirtan, which is the most glorious, wonderful activity for the deliverance of the whole world. But sometimes, who becomes attracted? Some drunk. He joins us. Follows us along, and even in this just stupid drunken way, he may try to mimic us or sort of mock us. But his life is just a mockery at best. So sometimes it's like that. The people, transcendental people, who are well above just the ordinary materialistic level, that is not recognized by the more regular or responsibly minded materialistic people. They're just some types of social rejects and other people who are just, you know, very sort of inconsequential in material terms. They become a little attracted, but not for the right reasons, but just because they have little intelligence, because they're easily amused, and things like this. So these people, these types of people, they're following Maharaj Parikshit and laughing at him. I remember actually having the experience in Bhaktivedanta Nanda many, many years ago, that not far from Bhaktivedanta Nanda, it's a little distance, but maybe a couple of kilometers, something like that, is a mental institution. Yeah, like mental hospital. And one day there was a group of these mentally handicapped, or, you know, you could say crazy people who they had a leader, like one of the nurses or one of the officials from the place. But somehow they just wandered into the grounds of Bhaktivedanta Nanda as we were having prasadam outside on the lawn. So there's, you know, maybe even 100 or at least 60 or 70 or more devotees sitting there in lines eating prasadam, dressed as usual, shaved heads, like, as everything like that, as usual. And these people, and you could just see by looking at them, these people are quite deranged. And they come, some of them come wandering up, lost or whatever, and then they see us, and they start laughing, like, look at these funny people. It's sad, really, because they just so lost their intelligence that they can't see that they're in just, oh, such an unfortunate condition. So anyway, these people, they thought that Shukadeva Goswami, wandering around with no clothes on at all, and making no effort to cover his body, just wandering around, apparently as if everything is normal. But by material standards, it's definitely not normal. So these people thought, oh, what a joke. What a funny, weird person. And let us devote some time to following him and mocking him and doing things of this sort, maybe throwing some things at him. And then they come on the scene. What an amazing situation. And you've got all these great sages, transcendentalists, you know, a few incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and people like this assembled there. And when Shukadeva Goswami comes into that scene, those great personalities, they don't start laughing or doing anything of that sort. They start offering obeisances, or embracing him, or offering pranams, something like this. I mean, different things like this. Offering Maharaj Parikshit, the king of the entire planet, offers Sapariyam, Shirasa, offers prostrated obeisances with all limbs on the ground, the king of the world, before this person. And of course, you know, Maharaj Parikshit was a well-known person, to say the least. And here, all these stupid people, and suddenly they see this. As Prabhupada says here, Prabhupada says, they were struck with wonder and fear. But what have we been doing? But, of course, interesting point, and Prabhupada makes mention of it. In the purport, that all the assembled sages and other great personalities, they received Shukadeva Goswami in different ways. And he responded with different of them in different ways. It wasn't just that they all offered obeisances. It wasn't just that he offered obeisances and they just accepted obeisances, something like that. But all different people were responding in different ways. And Shukadeva Goswami was reacting in different ways to different people in terms of how he met them and initially interacted with them. Because Vedic culture, Krishna conscious culture, is a very deep subject. Of course, one of the main underlying themes in Vedic culture, at least in regards to personal interactions and relationships, one of the main themes, if not the main theme, is one of respect. Offering respect. Offering respect. Offering affection. Like this. But even in terms of offering respect, there are different ways of offering respect. Sometimes people from other cultures or other religious traditions, they object to the practice in Krishna consciousness, or, you know, it's a Vedic practice, traditional practice of Sanatana Dharma and Vedic culture, of bowing down on the ground, specifically when that's done to a spiritual master. And they say that, you know, we will not bow down before an ordinary person. But little do they know, in Krishna consciousness, we do not just bow down. Our bowing down is not limited to just the spiritual master. We bow down to everyone. We bow down to each other. Someone is not at all a spiritual master, but he or she is a devotee, and we may bow down and offer respect. And this, of course, is such an important part of the process for making advancement spiritually. Lord Chaitanya, of course, said in Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Samichena, Taror Api Sadishnana, that we should offer respect, basically, to others. One should think oneself lower than the straw on the street, be more tolerant than the tree, not want any respect for ourselves, but be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. And only in that state of mind will it be possible to chant the holy names constantly. And only by chanting the holy names, preferably constantly, can you go back to Godhead. In the age of Kali, there's no other way. and even want to speak of going back to Godhead, but just of making any meaningful advancement in Krishna consciousness. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya speaks this verse the first time, he speaks it at least twice. But when he speaks it the first time, he says, he's advising some of his devotees, and he says, you should wear this verse around your neck like a necklace. Yeah. And always keep it with you. Yes. And, there's so many examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita, particularly the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, in which we see devotees offering great respect. Yeah. And we're told that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once was asked, do you know the secret? How to advance? The secret. What is the right button to press so that advancement just comes? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we're told, leaned forward and said, yes. I know the secret. Trinada Pisani Chena Tarora Pisanishina Amali Narada Dena Kirtani Sadhari same verse. So Vedic culture, Krishna conscious culture, the culture of Sanatan, real Sanatan Dharma, the eternal religion and eternal way of life of the soul. Spiritual person, one of the main factors is respect, offering respect, being ready and happy and even wanting to have opportunities to offer respect, to express the respect that one feels. So, and as described here, Srila Prabhupada points out, that it is done in different ways. It's not just a blanket thing that we just offer respect to, and we just do this. That's how we offer respect. It depends on the positions of the different persons relative to each other, their stages of advancement, and so on like that. It depends. But the underlying thing is offering respect and being very happy to offer respect to a person who one recognizes as being worthy of respect and who one knows is actually contributing to one's life in such ways which it is only reasonable and natural that they would be offered respect for that. Yes. So Prabhupada puts it very nicely. The street boys and these women, street women, they retired from their frivolous activities. Retirement. It is a cultured way of saying they thought, what? What's going on? And they just sort of couldn't deal with it. And then they went away. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Surat Namaka. Okay, yes.
Thank you.
If we don't, well, that verse should not be mentioned at that verse. It says we should offer respect to everyone. Everyone. Not simply, you know, people who are like obviously in Krishna consciousness, respectable, but even including the non-devotees. So if, the question is, if we fail to offer respect to the Karamis, to non-devotees, will that have a detrimental, may that have a detrimental effect on us, on our Krishna consciousness? And the answer would be, yeah, I think the appropriate answer would be really, that in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is described how the middle class devotees, who we are meant to be trying to be, actually. Now, we are meant to be trying to become first class devotees, but before you become a first class devotee, you have to become a second class devotee. So it's described there that the middle class, second class devotees, they worship the Lord, they befriend the devotees, they try to help the innocent, and they avoid the demons, the antagonistic, the atheistic, and the negatively minded towards Krishna consciousness. Yeah. But even so, even when they meet negatively minded, like, you know, openly critical or even aggressive people, still the devotees may try to think how to help this person. Sometimes, particularly the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they may then think, you know, how can I give this person some prasada? So, but, you know, if it's the circumstances are not suitable, then the basic thing is they avoid such people. Yeah. And that avoidance, of course, is based on not just an emotional response that, oh, this person is nasty, doesn't like Krishna consciousness. But it's, the avoidance is based on understanding the person's position in the moment. Who is this person? What is their position? This is a conditioned soul. Yeah. And not just an emotional reaction, but this person spoke badly to me, or something like that. So basically the answer would be that, that yes, if we, you know, it's one thing if someone, one of those demoniac people, becomes, you know, regularly on an ongoing basis, aggressively opposed and trying to interfere with Krishna consciousness. And it's another thing if they're just in the modes and just having a bit of an outburst. But generally the underlying, like if someone attacks another devotee, we should defend that other devotee. Yeah. We may have to take physically aggressive action, possibly. But otherwise the general mood is understanding the pathetic condition of these people. The devotee avoids them, but in a mood of like regret. Not in really an aggressive mood. Or like a really negative type of mood. And you know, offering respect, at least in the sense that this is a spirit soul, this is one of my brothers or sisters, but they're just particularly bewildered. So yeah, you know, particularly if one gets into the habit of thinking, you know, the curries, the demons, the dirty non-devotees, it will definitely have a negative effect on one's Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Yes. Loud and clear. Why was Sukadeva Goswami being followed by women and children, and why not sages? Well, just due to the situation, he had not been moving around a lot for a long time. All the sages were assembled here on the banks of the Ganges. And he just wandered through a town, a village, a marketplace, something like that. And these street people became attracted to him. But all the sages, actually, it's going to be pointed out, we read in the previous verse, all the sages who were there, they understood the science of physiognomy, which we don't understand. So just by looking at, you know, his physical features, they can understand, this is a very great soul. But otherwise, he just went into he didn't go to any ashrams or places where saintly people gather. He just went through some village or a few villages, some marketplaces, like that. What made them follow?
And they care for his activities. Just following him without any talk, you were just moving without him. What was attracting them?
Yeah. Why were the women, these street urchins and these street women attracted? Because, you know, it's the same question as why do drunkards sometimes become more attracted to the Harinam party than everybody else, including the intelligent people and so on? Because on a certain level, if someone's walking around with no clothes on, you know, many people will think this is bizarre, weird, crazy, and will be, you know, attracted to mocking that person, like that, abusing the person. So that's really why. Not because they subtly recognize some spiritual qualities in him. No. Just by material standards, he looked extremely strange. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.